today I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Listen to God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. It doesn't take long looking at the world around you to see that we are going through quite a change in the moral outlook of America. The institutions of marriage and of family have been redefined in a staggeringly short period of time. Though I think that when you dig a little deeper that you'll find that the seeds of rebellion against authority in general and against the institution of family have been planted deep in the hearts of generation after generation for a long time. We are now reaping the harvest of those seeds sown, a harvest of a worldview that more and more seeks to throw off any sense of submission to God. In contrast to that, Paul has been teaching the Ephesians exactly the opposite. The church in Ephesus is coming out of a non-Christian world, coming out of a worldview that had thrown off any sort of allegiance or submission to the one true God. And by faith in Jesus Christ, they're coming to understand the world in a new way. And all throughout his letter, Paul has been trying to help the Ephesians church to know what it means to follow after Jesus Christ. The first three chapters of the letter are incredible doctrine, and the last three chapters are very, very practical. This is what it means to follow after Jesus Christ. The immediate context that we've been looking at is that back in chapter 5, verse 18, Paul has said that as part of the Christian life, it means that you are to be filled with the Spirit. And that Spirit-filled Christian life will practice submitting to one another. And then he further narrows that application to different members of the family. To wives first, and now to children. Children, obey your parents. That means that obedience and the relationship that you children and young people have with your parents is part of the Christian life. It is, in fact, a very important way that you live out your faith. There are many other things that are included in the Christian life, but children, I want you to understand this, that as you want to know how to live as a Christian, that the first place to start is by obeying your parents. As a guiding thought and idea for this message, I've just taken that admonition that Paul gives. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I'll begin by explaining the first point, that obeying your parents is from God. Obeying your parents is from God. This has to do with the way that God created the world, how he gave responsibility and authority to the institutions of marriage and the family. It's something that I pointed out in the context of the relationship of husbands and wives, that the idea of marriage and of the relationship there is not something that was a human invention. God gave that. He also gave a certain structure to marriage. So he's done the same thing in families, too. He's given a certain structure. That is that parents are to have authority over their children. Paul says it this way, obey your parents in the Lord. And it's that phrase, in the Lord, that I'm especially focusing on now, that leads to that conclusion that obedience to your parents is from God. is something that comes from the Lord. It helps to qualify that obedience as well, and I want to just immediately deal with that question that often arises. Well, what if my parents require me to do something that's sinful? Well, in the Lord helps you to understand that you ought to obey God rather than man if they are to require you to do something wrong. Just like a husband can't require a wife to sin, so too parents cannot require children to sin. If that happens, we politely say no, I can't do that. That would be a sin. But in this case, though, Paul is addressing godly families, addressing a setting where that's typically not the case, where parents will require children to sin. And Paul is especially wanting to show that obedience comes from God. I say that because sometimes as children we can think, my parents invented this rule, and they found a good verse in the Bible to underline it. No, parents didn't invent this. God designed families this way. He designed children to be born to a mom and a dad. He designed you to be cared for and to be raised and to be nurtured in a family. And it's a good thing that he did so. Can you imagine some of the infants that are still not crawling yet thinking that they rule the house? Actually, they do, don't they? They think that they rule the house, and they try to exert their own will. But it would be very foolish to give that over to them, wouldn't it? Parents didn't invent this. God designed families this way and for your good. In fact, many of you know that this command, honor your father and your mother, comes from the Ten Commandments. I know in my Sunday school class, we've memorized that. Memorized that, all of those Ten Commandments. And I want you to remember that God gave those Ten Commandments as a summary of the law of God that was on man's hearts from the very beginning. The Ten Commandments weren't invented on Mount Sinai and written down in stone for the very first time. No, those were part of God's requirements from the very creation of the world. That's why I say that God designed families this way. God instituted, or God set up, the institution of the family. That is a very important implication, or it means something. And children, I want you to recognize this, that obedience to your parents is close to God's heart. It's pleasing to God when you obey your parents. It's good for you to recognize that, because your parents are raising you to want to follow after God and to be pleasing to Him. Well, here is one very important way. If you want to please God, then listen to your parents and obey them. It is pleasing to God when you do so. The opposite is also true. It's displeasing when you dishonor your parents and when you disobey your parents. You know it's displeasing to your parents. They make that pretty clear. And you know that it's displeasing to your parents. You know that. You need to know that it's displeasing to God as well. And you know that too. God has given you a conscience as well. Your conscience bothers you when you disobey your parents. Children, obey your parents, for this is from God. It often leads to a question, when do I stop being a child? Honestly, that is a really good question. Paul, in these verses, is very definitely writing to children. He said that the broader context is that he's saying what the Christian life involves, and one of the things it involves is that principle of submission to those who are in authority over you. If you've been paying attention in the week past, you will have heard that how that worked out between your mom and your dad. Now he has in mind the way you relate to your parents. Paul has then in mind especially those who are somehow still under the care of their parents. In our society, that would obviously be referring to little children. It would stretch even then on up into the teenage years. Parents are there as an authority. They are also caring for you and providing for you. Remember how good a thing that is, that you aren't the one having to pay the house bills and to go shopping and cooking and make sure that the car is running and that you can see over the dash so that you can drive to work every day. Just doesn't work that way, does it? There's good things because of that, but it's also from the Lord. As you grow older, there will be a transition that takes place. And your parents are training you in this direction. They are gradually giving more and more responsibility to you. And they're expecting more and more in response to that. They're wanting you to take care of yourself and learning to be a responsible head of your own household in good time. That clearly happens when you get married or when you move out of your parents' house into your own living. Before then, there can be some transition where you are an adult living in your parents' home, and that takes some special care because you are under their household or under their roof, and they have certain ways that they expect their house to be run. And as under their roof, you need to respect that. But as you are leading up to that, it's this specific time period that Paul especially has in mind. Children who are still under the authority of their parents, whether they your little children or in your teenage years, God calls you to obey your parents, to recognize that their authority comes from God, and as you obey them, that you are obeying the Lord. Secondly, just moving on in what Paul says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Obeying your parents is right. Well, this makes sense, doesn't it? If authority is from the Lord, and if your parents are given to you by God, then it must be right. Everything that God does is right. It must be part, then, of godly living. That if obedience is right, then it's right that it be part of godly living. Paul uses a word here that is the root word for righteousness. Even in English, you can see the connection. We have right and righteousness. And if you looked at the word as it's printed on the paper, you would see the word right, R-I-G-H-T, is the very first part of righteousness. In this case, they go together. The Bible thinks of righteousness in a simple definition. You can think of it as being and doing what God commands. Being and doing what God commands. This is righteousness. This is what is right. And of course, God is the one who defines what is right. I've already told you that Paul goes on and he cites the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment being, honor your father and your mother. And Paul directly links the admonition to children and says it is right, and he links that to the commandment of God. Now, I want to pause on that for a minute and remind you of some things about the Ten Commandments that will help you in your obedience to your parents. Not only do they describe the character of God and the will of God, but the commandments as the perfect law of God also serve as something that condemns you. Because not one of us can keep the commandments of God perfectly. When you read through the Ten Commandments, you find that you fall utterly short. Even this commandment that's given to us today, honor your father and your mother, which one of us could say that we have always done that perfectly? That one serves as a case in point of how we break God's commands. Have you ever disobeyed your parents? I know that I have. As a child, there were times in which there was conflict in my home and in my heart because of my own disobedience. We break God's law. But now remember as well that God gave the Ten Commandments to those he had already redeemed. When in my Sunday school I have my class memorize the Ten Commandments, I also have them memorize the preface of the Ten Commandments. That's the verse that comes right before the first commandment. It goes like this. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. That is very significant. It's a much bigger topic than I can cover completely today, but what I want you to know is that obedience to God rises up out of our faith in Jesus Christ. The law does stand as a perfect standard. This is God's holiness. This is what God commands. This is how you should live. Do this and live. Disobey and die. But we disobey. That's why I say the law is a schoolmaster, as Paul calls it to the Galatians, a schoolmaster that drives us to Christ. It says, you can't do this. You need Christ as your Redeemer to forgive your sins and to give you a new heart that then obeys out of gratitude. And out of that faith comes an obedience that follows after the Lord. It doesn't do it perfectly. We never do it perfectly. We always need Jesus to forgive our sins. And that's an encouraging aspect to this command, because obedience does rise out of your faith in Christ. And the Bible often uses the analogy of a living plant to describe your relationship to Jesus. Christian living is like a tree planted by the waterside that grows up, and in its season it yields its fruit. It yields the fruits of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. And in this case, it produces the fruit of obedience to your parents. It is right It is part of the Christian life. It's part of what wells up in us when we love the Lord, that we want to do what is right in His eyes. Part of what God will is working in you as young people is an understanding of obedience as coming from your love for the Lord. I want you to notice something really amazing about this and the way that Paul speaks to you young people. Paul treats you as responsible for your actions. He treats you as capable of genuine Christian living. I know that we live in a day and age when it is popular to excuse bad behavior, especially to excuse the bad behavior of those who are young. He didn't know what he was doing. Cut him some slack. She didn't, she's not to blame. Don't punish her. Don't get me wrong. A child can act childishly. By that I mean that a little child cannot understand or not have the maturity or the capacity to understand the consequences of something. They don't know what an electrical socket is, and it looks like a hole that you could stick things in, and there it goes, and a child acts childishly. But a child, and especially a child as he grows older and older, can also act responsibly, and can also act rebelliously. Paul talks to children as if they are responsible. There's a certain dignity in this, isn't there? One of the tensions that I think every teen goes through revolves around the question, why won't you treat me as an adult? At least that was one of the questions that I went through in my teenage years. And there's this angst in those teen years where there's that transition going on where you're learning and taking on more and more responsibilities as you should as an adult, but not yet having the freedoms of all that adulthood brings with it, nor all of the responsibilities, I might add. And you feel that tension. I'm an adult. Treat me as an adult. Why don't you? Well, Paul does. And God does. God treats you as responsible for your actions. There's dignity in this. And there's responsibility. You're asking to be treated as one who is responsible. So learn what is right and what is responsible. Obedience to your parents is right. Part of acting and being treated as an adult is by learning obedience in the context in which God Himself has set you. Dignity and responsibility together. Obedience to your parents is right. So, as part of your learning to live that Christian life, the Spirit-filled Christian life, pray that God would teach you what that looks like in your situation, in your relationship with your parents. Ask God to help you to understand what they want of you, to communicate in ways that are respectful. Ask God to help you to learn to obey in actions and in attitude. And yes, I did say attitude. I've already used the example of the little boy who said to his dad, who was telling him to sit down. The illustration, the boy was disobedient, and his father finally takes him by the arms and sits him down. What does the little boy say? I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. That isn't obedience, is it? Obedience is actions and attitude. When you obey your parents, and you do so despising them in your hearts, that is not pleasing to the Lord. It is not Christian living. Pray that God would forgive you of that disobedience and to teach you to learn to love and to respond in respect to your parents. Thirdly, and finally from this passage then, obeying your parents comes with a promise. Paul calls attention to the fifth commandment and says that it's the first and really the only promise, or the only commandment of the ten that is given with a promise. Now, elsewhere, God says keeping all of the commandments also comes with promise. But he embeds it right here in the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Paul summarizes it in connection with long life, not necessarily with the promised land. There's some transition going on here as well, but summarizes it as long life. Obedience comes with promise. I want to say that the relationship between obedience and blessing is really can be a tricky subject. It is so easy for us to fall into the mindset of thinking that if I obey, I gain God's favor, and that my obedience somehow saves me. And we can immediately go to Scripture and say that it is not by works of righteousness which you are saved. It is by grace you have been saved through faith and not of works. But it is so easy to fall into that mindset that obedience earns God's favor. So be cautious of that. Be careful of the mentality of doing this to earn your salvation. But at the same time, God himself gave this command, and God himself also gave this promise, a promise of life for obedience. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. You might think of it in terms of following directions. If you bake a cake and you follow the directions, you will likely have a yummy cake at the end of a couple of hours, right? If you bake a cake and you don't follow the directions, and you kind of toss in this and that and put it in the oven for who knows how long, your cake is going to taste bad. It will not taste good. We recently stumbled on a book that we wrote when Sam and JD were a lot younger, maybe 5 or 6 years old, and we asked them to write down recipes, how they would bake cookies or a cake. And it is hilarious to see what they thought would go into a cake. We didn't give them any directions. We asked them to write their own. And I know that there was a time when I thought I knew everything that went into what I was making. And so I just went along and I didn't follow the directions. And it turned out really, really bad. Take God's commands to obey your parents, something like that. It is more. It is the law of God. It is the command of God. It's more than directions for a good life. But you can take them in this way. They are directions that come with promise. And by that promise, God does something really, really wonderful. God beckons to you. God beckons to you to say, follow my ways. It is sweet to follow my ways. That's what Psalm 34 says. There's that invitation, the beckoning of God. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And God does the same thing with this commandment, this one that in the teenage years may seem to be the most oppressive. God does something like this. He says, come and taste and see that obedience to your parents is a good thing. Here again, I think that you know this to be the case. You know this from your own experience. Try doing this. Try this week to listen to your parents carefully. To immediately stand up when your mom talks to you and she asks you to take out the trash or to put away your clothes and say, yes, mom, and go immediately and do that. And in all those different areas of life, try it this week, and I think that you will find that in your home that there is a peacefulness and a sweetness about your relationship to your parents that happens. On the other side, and I don't recommend this experiment, try the opposite. Well, I think you already have. Imagine throwing into your relationship with your parents an attitude and an action of disobedience. What if your dad comes and tells you to take out your trash and you say to your dad, forget it. I'm not going to do that. Will that lead to a peaceful, prosperous life? No, you will have a life that is full of stress, pain, and heartache. Will your parents sometimes sin against you? Yes, they will. Will they sometimes overreact, and will they sometimes their anger or their discipline go beyond what is necessary? Sometimes, yes. We're sinners too. But you won't improve the recipe any if you start stirring in your own bad attitude and your own disobedience. You do that, your cake, your life will just taste awful. But listen carefully to your parents. And out of your love for your Lord, and out of love for your parents, nurture an attitude that says, God gave me these parents. God gave me these good people to watch over me. Think of them that way. Then as they ask you to do something, obey them out of a sense of love for them and love for your Lord. And out of that obedience, or out of that love for the Lord, out of your faith, let grow a fruitful obedience. And I think that you will find that that beckoning of the Lord is true. You will find that there is a sweetness to following in God's ways. To close, I'll let you know that next week I'll go on to Paul's admonition to parents. Kids, I'm not singling you out today any more than I singled out husbands or wives in the weeks before. God has words for each aspect of the relationship. And next week, it's the parents' turn. Today, it's your turn. And God treats you as responsible, and I'm treating you as responsible as well by addressing you in this way. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. But this is right. Obedience comes from God. It is part of righteousness. And it comes with a promise. May you enjoy exploring that promise of God as you put into practice the Spirit-filled Christian life in your relationship with your parents. Let's bow in prayer. God, thank you for the command that teaches us what is right. And thank you for the generous way in which you add these good things to obedience, to entice us and to beckon to us to follow after you. Lord, today we bow and we beg your forgiveness for our sins. God, for those that are still under the authority of their parents, I pray that you would be prompting them to recognize sin and to confess that to you and to their parents if necessary. It gives us boldness to pray for young people who have rebelled against you and against the church and have left the church. God, we beg for them to be returned. We beg for them, O Lord, that you would forgive their sins and draw them back to you. Lord, I pray that you would teach those of the congregation that are in that transition period of still living with their parents but having adult responsibilities. Pray that you would give them grace to understand the dynamics of that and to thrive under the privileges and the responsibilities that their parents have raised them in, but then also to live under the house rules where they the guidelines that their parents have set. And Lord, I also pray that you would be teaching us the sweetness of following your directions. That as a testimony to the newness of life that we have in you, you would teach us obedience that comes from the heart that affects our actions and our attitudes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.